This morning, the joy of obedience is the title of my message here, and despite the persecutions that the Christians faced in the first century, there was joy. They faced all sorts of things, you know, persecution-wise, and I know that Mark read the scripture reading, but I want to go back to that, and I want to read 1 Peter 1, starting verse number 3, and going down to verse number 9, and it talks a little bit more about this. It reads here, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you will greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls." A great joy. It talks about a great joy. It also talks about inexpressible joy. That word inexpressible, I looked that up. And the dictionary that I chose, it says that word inexpressible is something that is too intense or vast or complex to be adequately put into words. But a great joy, an inexpressible joy, knowing that they were saved. That was their joy that they had. Because that joy that we talk about here, that they had, it overrode all the hardships that they suffered in that life. And whether that was being beaten, thirsty, hungry, whatever the case may be, the joy of knowing that they would be saved overrode everything. But this world that we live in today, the attitude is strange upon a number of people in this world about that. Because the question they may ask is, how can people be happy while being concerned with keeping a bunch of commands? How can you be happy if you have to keep all these commands in mind? They don't understand that. Because they may go on and say, you know, if you have to watch every little thing that you do so you don't lose your salvation, how can that be fun? If you have to watch each and every little thing that you do. To many in this world, and not only today, but in the days gone by, it seems the commandment keeping would basically kill joy. Keeping the commandments, it would just kill joy. Yet Christians find God's way a blessing. Let's go to Psalm 128 and read more there. Psalm 128, beginning right there at verse number 1. It reads, "How blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you shall eat of the fruit of your hands, you will be happy and it will be well with you. Christians find God's way a blessing. Also, there is a delight in God's commands. Still staying in Psalms, let's go back to Psalm 112. Verse number 1 reads here, to praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. There is a delight in God's commandments. You know, this morning I want to talk a little bit about the Philippians and for us to consider them. Because the Philippians basically were the first Christian congregation. Philippians were. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 12 and start reading there, and we'll just kind of see what it says here. Philippians 2 and verse number 12, it reads, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." It says here that they always obeyed. They always obeyed God's command. And they were commanded to work out their, to work out their salvations. But if that wasn't enough, they were to work out their salvations with fear and trembling. Think about that for a little bit. And then let's go on to verse 13, still in Philippians 2. Philippians 2, verse number 13, it says, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing." They were to do all things without grumbling or disputing. I mean, I know people today that they get upset about the littlest things. And I think all of us in the crowd probably know people like that too in today's world. It doesn't take much to set them off. But here they're talking about grumbling or disputing. You know, not the at each other because this didn't work or that didn't work or whatever. They were to do it without grumbling or disputing. Without a doubt, these Christians were expected to continue to work at keeping all, and I'm talking all, of God's commandments. We're talking about the Philippians here. And some people may ask, so where's the fun in that? Where is the fun in that, following God's commandments? ? I don't understand it. But we're going to continue in Philippians 2. And this time we're starting at verse number 15. It reads, "So that you will prove yourself to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach, in the midst of a crooked, perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." Seems like I've heard that somewhere before, this lights in the world. "Holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain or toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my goal with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me." I didn't do all this for nothing. I'm looking towards that home in heaven. I didn't do all this work. I didn't do all this for just for the fun of it. I know that there's a place waiting for me that I can only think about, that I can only read about. None of us have seen it. I don't know of anybody in this audience that knows anybody that has seen it. But we just have to keep working towards it. That's what it's all about, keeping the Lord's commandments. I want you to just look at this end note where it talks about rejoice in the same way. And with that, let's go over to Philippians 3 and verse number 1 and see what it says. It reads here, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you." Rejoice in the Lord. That's what it's saying. Rejoice in the Lord. And still staying with Philippians, this time let's go over to chapter 4 and verse number 4. And what does it say here? It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Rejoice in the Lord always. Because, folks, you can keep commandments with fear and trembling and always rejoice in the Lord at the same time. I've went through this book that we call the Bible more than once, and I've never found a scripture that says it's going to be a rose garden for you, Dennis. Smooth sailing all the way. You don't have to do anything on your part. Your ticket is ready to go, buddy. No, it does not say that. It says, follow the Lord's commandments and he will provide. Because when you keep the commandments with fear and trembling and always rejoice in the Lord at the same time, what I'm saying is that I think this is the only way to have true joy. I think that's the only way that you can do it. You know, this same thing was also taught in the old law. Because if we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, let's go to Deuteronomy, and this is going to be chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse number 45. It reads, "So all these curses shall come on you and pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed, because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. They shall become a sign and a wonder on you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart for the abundance of all things." I want you to notice these phrases that we talk about here. Because you would not obey the Lord your God by keeping his commandments. And also, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joy and a glad heart. We have an illustration, and I think all of us might jog memory a little bit, but I remember doing this on a Wednesday night Bible study, and we're talking about the book of Malachi. And I want to just kind of give an illustration about this point that I'm just talking about, because, like I said, this comes from Malachi, and it's chapter 2, beginning at verse number 13. And I'm going to kind of flip back and forth here a little bit, because I brought Mark's notes here for Wednesday night Bible study, and I've got it right here. So we're going to kind of go back and forth on my sheets here. But anyway, we're in Malachi chapter 2, beginning at verse number 13. This is another thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with groaning, because he no longer regards the offering or accepts it with favor from your hand. Now, according to my notes and the ones that I borrowed from Mark here, you know, Judah went to God weeping because he no longer showed them favor. Who's he? God did not show them the favor. And Judah was upset with that because he went weeping. But if we go on, I'm now in verse number 14, that it says, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant. You know, God, he charged the Israelites to worship them with tears instead of joy because he no longer favored them. And why? Because they had been violating their marriages, their binding sacred agreements that they had with the marriages. God had been their God once. God had once been their only God. Let me rephrase that. God had once been their only God. But if we continue in verse 15, but not one has done so who has a remnant of the Spirit. And what did that one do while he was seeking a godly offspring? Take heed then to your spirit, and let no one deal treacherously against the wife of your youth. Verse 15 says that God's expectation was that they would be faithful to him and raise the next generation to be faithful to him. And then let's continue in verse 16. This is God, for I hate divorce, says the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garments with wrong, says the Lord of hosts. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Those who are not faithful to God will lose the favor of God. That's simple. If you're not faithful to the Lord, basically And like Mark always says, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. Who's in charge? God is in charge. God is in charge. We have to follow his commandments. After reading this, the implications is that if they had honored their agreements, they would have joy at home. They would have joy at home and joy in worshiping the God who told them the right way to live. Because having joy and keeping commandments are not opposite. You don't have joy over here and commandments over here. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. This is the joy I'm having. They're not like this. They go together. They go hand in hand. In giving Israel rules concerning his worship, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 12. And I'm going to start at verse number 5. It says, but you shall seek the Lord at the place which the Lord your God will choose from all your tribes to establish his name there for his dwelling, and there you shall come. There you shall bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the contribution of your hand, your freewill offerings, and the firstborn of your herd and of your flock. There also you and your household shall eat before the Lord your God, and rejoice in all your undertakings in which your word of God has blessed you. You shall not do at all what we are doing here today. Every man doing whatever is right in his own eyes. For you have not as yet come to the resting place and the inheritance which your Lord your God is giving you. We need to consider that we too have not reached our resting place. In other words, heaven. That is our resting place, is heaven. And the thing that's happening in this world, not just today, it's been ever since the days of old. Are we doing what is right in our own eyes instead of obeying God? Are we doing what we think is right instead of listening to God? Because, once again, Mark has talked about this in our Wednesday night Bible study. Because the example, I mean, okay, Lord, if you listen to me, you know, this is why we can do this together as a team. And it doesn't work like that. You know, Lord, I tell you why. You know, if you get me through this rough patch, you know, I'll be a very good Christian. I'll be going to church, you know, and I'll be doing this and I'll be doing that and I'll be putting in the offering plate and stuff. If you just get me through this patch. No, it doesn't work like that. You follow God's commandments at all times. It's right here. This is the instruction booklet, right here. You don't need anything else. It's right there. To follow the Lord's way, follow His commandments. A question I want to ask everybody, though. Do we rejoice in the jobs that God has given us? Do we rejoice in those jobs? How about the difficult ones? And that can be anything. I'm talking about if we have some health issues, do we rejoice in that? The fact that you pray to the Lord, you get through this. Everything is in God's control. Like I told Bruce before services, I talked to Rick Lanning Thursday. Just see how the man was doing. And I know Harry and Connie have been gone, and Harry and Connie are pretty close to Rick and Benita. And, you know, I announced last week, first of all, Benita has had the major surgery. I would call it the major surgery by the removal of part of her colon. Rick, God bless him, he went to Nashville, where his mama was in hospice care. When he's down in Nashville, his appendix ruptures. There's nothing, I've been through this, there's nothing worse than being out of state and you're going to go to the hospital and have surgery. I don't know any of these people, man. I'm sorry, you're going to go to the hospital and have the surgery done. And not only that, septus sets in. The man is in the hospital for 5 days. Okay. Thank the Lord he got better. But like Mark was saying too, he had the trip back from Nashville up to Minnesota. Did he fly? I don't know. Did he drive? I don't know that either. But still, the idea of driving, going from point A to point B to get back to your familiar territories and stuff, your home. He had that. And when I called him Thursday, because he had, oh, by the way, he had his gallbladder taken out Tuesday. And I talked to him on Thursday, and all of us, I think, here have seen Rick and know who he is and stuff. I talked to him on Thursday. You couldn't tell there had been anything wrong in that man's life. And the fact that I asked, how's Bonita doing? And he tells me, oh, she's at the building. She's getting ready for 100 kids because we got vacation Bible school next week. I'm going, what? He says, yes, sir. And as soon as we're done talking, Dennis, I'm going. And by the way, thank the entire Des Moines congregation for thoughts and prayers, because he says, without a doubt, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't have been through it, as easy as it was. Prayers work. I've said that before. Prayers do work. But anyway, you know, it's a difficult task. But do we rejoice in those tasks that we get every now and then? Or is it just one of those deals where, oh my Lord, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can handle this. Another question, are we glad to worship God? Are we glad to worship God? Let's go to Psalms 122. Psalms 122. Verse number 1. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I was glad. Are we glad to worship God? That is a question mark. You know, this thing called the joy of obedience, first of all, it requires a change in attitude towards God's requirements. You can't think of it as a burden. You can't think of it as, oh, we got Wednesday night Bible study again. You know, it seems like I just left the building and suddenly it's Wednesday night. Or I have to go to services. Yes, that's part of the deal. I'm sorry. That's part of God's commandment. Now, you don't have to. I'll leave that up to you. You don't have to, but you know the outcome. You know that heavenly home is waiting for you. It requires a change in attitude towards God's requirement. We need to realize that God commands what is right and what is good for us. What is right, what is good. You know, I think the last sermon I had up here, I talked about people that I've known throughout the years. Bad people get in bad situations, and that's normally a bad outcome. And I'm just sorry, that's just the way it is. And it doesn't happen just in big cities. Every Sunday morning I get a flip on the TV and I say, well, where was the shooting at in Des Moines last night? You know, you go down there on Court Avenue. It used to be a nice place. I don't know. I mean, there's some different people. Something happens when the sun goes down. But the last two points that I want to make today. Do we appreciate what God has given us? I want you to stop and think about that. Do we appreciate what the good Lord has given us? I know I try to each and every day. Because we say those prayers, not just before meals, not just before we go to bed at night, throughout the day. It doesn't have to be 20 minutes long. Lord, thank you for letting me get out of bed and being able to put one foot in front of the other, take in nourishment, and breathe air. Because there's a lot of people who know can't do that. So, in closing, the last question I have, will you not this day experience the joy of keeping God's commandments? You know, if we have people in the audience that are not a Christian and would like to become one, we've got everything ready. We've got everything ready for you. You know, to hear those words from the Bible, it talks about hear Jesus. You need to hear Jesus. You need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Those sins that we've talked about periodically, you need to repent of each and every one of those sins. You confess Jesus with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. This baptizing thing, this full immersion in water, when you come up out of that pool of water, You're a brand new person. The old man of sin is still down there. You're washed clean of your sins. And last but not least, and I say this every time that I'm up here, and to be faithful always. Not just on Wednesday nights, just not on Sunday mornings, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we have everything ready if you'd like to be made a Christian today. Now, those people that are in our audience that are already Christians, maybe you've had a tough week. I mean, it's this world anymore is just almost a dog-eat-dog, you know? But if you've had a tough week and if you need some prayers of the saint, we ask that you come forward and we sing the song of invitation that Brian has selected.